All right, welcome to the Always Cheating Locker Room, hosted by me, Brandon, and Josh is going to be joining me in a moment. For those of you that are new to Locker Room, it is an app available for iOS. If you want to hang out and chat live with me and Josh, you can do so every week on the Locker Room app. Today, we're going to be talking about the U.S., how we're lining up against Mexico tonight. We're also going to touch upon the Euros. Welcome to the stage, my co-host, Josh. How are you?
I'm good. I'm putting away all of my daughter's toys right now. So I am, I'm here. I'm happy to be here.
We are multitaskers and always cheating. All right. We've got
trying not to be, but I kept finding new tasks to do before we started this. I'm good. I was actually thinking, as I was getting ready for this call, though, that I'm hoping we can be a little more structured than that. The post Champions League pod was a controversial addition to the Always Cheating podcast feed. I think
controversy creates conversation, Josh.
That's true. But I was thinking we could we'll try to keep this a little U.S. men's national team focused. But I we haven't talked, Brandon, in a while, so. And anyone's welcome to hit that request to speak button and join us. But just before we start, Brandon, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm good, Josh. Yeah, it's Sunday evening when we're recording. It's a beautiful sunny day. And I was out visiting some friends this weekend. I was in Kingston, Josh, hanging out with our friend Ryan.
Sure.
But now to be back home I feel like I haven't watched enough of the U.S. men lately, so I'm actually really looking forward to this Nations League final.
They've barely played. I mean, yeah. Our friend Eric Freeman was talking when they played Honduras in this the semifinal of this Nations League match, and he was saying that that he was disappointed after all the hype. And I responded to him. I just said, that was like a pickup basketball game. Yeah. It was like no one's ever played together. I mean, there's just no way you're going to be cohesive when you just never played, And so, yeah. I mean, have Reyna, Pulisic, and McKennie, have those three ever started together? Like before that Honduras match? I mean, maybe once. Not any important match, that's for sure.
I think they have, but there's also a matter of all of the deprogramming that has to happen from all of the club football that these guys have played, especially those three players you just mentioned who are.
I'm not sure if they have though. I mean, how many caps does Reyna have? It can't be that many, right? Because he sort of exploded right when.
Yeah.
Right when COVID hit. So maybe a couple, but I doubt it's more than two matches of those three players play together.
Yeah. I hope we get some opinions from our audience members and how they feel about Berhalter, the direction of the U.S. men's team right now. It's it's so much young talent. And so much young talent that's playing integral roles in European clubs. Weston McKennie at Juventus. Pulisic is now a Champions League winner. You've got Reyna doing bits at Dortmund.
Yeah.
So there's lots to be excited about in theory. However, my prediction.
There's always a however with the men's national team, isn't there?
Yeah, and Mexico has had our number for the last 5 years. The clip that was making the rounds earlier today, and I remember being at, was it 505th, that sports bar in Park Slope, 205th, right? And you and I were there. And to watch Michael Bradley open the scoring with this insane midfield lob shot. To put the U.S. up 1-0. And then after that, Mexico just absolutely dominated us. And I think that they won 2-1 at the end of the day.
Yeah. I remember my first London trip, which was, I think, 10 years ago this summer. And I was actually there specifically for Wimbledon. So there were no Premier League matches at that time. And I was actually still just sort of – I was really becoming I was taking the leap from casual fan to obsessive, crazy – I need help fan. And
right.
I remember watching the Gold Cup final took place while I was there. And I remember the U.S. took a 2-0 lead in that Gold Cup match. And I was like, okay, all right, here we go. And I was just looking into my phone or something. I was in the you know, back at the hotel or whatever at the end of the night. And then I think we lost 4-2, you know, and it was just like, this is, so I will never take a match against Mexico for granted. I know we had the Dosisero run, yeah, you know, for a few, yeah, years there.
So like, long ago though.
Yeah. During Clint Dempsey's prime, I guess. But yeah. Yeah, they've had our, like you said, I mean, basically since Trump was elected, they've had our numbers. So.
right. We sound like England fans from like 5 years ago before. Like, I feel like England fans are now like weirdly hopeful. I mean, they had a decent run to the semifinals in the last World Cup, and now it's, yeah, all like it's coming home. One tweet after another about England. We are in the pessimistic phase of fandom with the U.S. men. So
it's not that I'm pessimistic. I mean, I'm not a Berhalter fan. Like, that's, yeah, for sure. I just have seen nothing so far to make me feel like, oh, wow. I like someone joined the chat. I said, I'm not a Berhalter fan, and they immediately dropped out of the chat.
Wow. Was, yeah. Yeah.
It might have been Berhalter himself looking for tips for the match. But I mean, yeah, I just don't feel like we've seen anything from Berhalter yet. That, yeah, seems particularly innovative, or, I mean, I guess they've done a good job recruiting. He's like the, you know, he's like the, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a good example of like a, you know, college basketball coach who's great at recruiting and then can't actually deliver anything, yeah, you know, on the court.
I think the best thing that Berhalter has going for him is he has the same actual physical body shape profile of Pep Guardiola. He's got the bald head with the weird long neck and the slim figure, and he dresses like a gym teacher that probably makes more money than he should. All right, should we welcome Scott up to the stage? Josh, are you ready to open up the conversation
here? Yeah, what's up, Scott?
Okay, let's do it. I'm gonna ask Scott to join. Here you are, buddy. Well, how you doing tonight, Scott?
I'm well. I'm gonna be honest with you. It's my first time in locker room, and you said, "Hey, Scott, welcome," and I went to request to speak, to reply to you and say, I'm doing great, Josh. And then I couldn't undo it, but hey,
you're off to a flying start here, Scott.
Hey, but Brandon and Josh, I'm with you. I'm not a Berhalter fan right now. I don't understand why Tyler Adams isn't starting. And I'm glad Pulisic's captain. We do well when he is.
Yep.
If you want to use the Joe from Fantasy Football Scout lexicon, he's a big fan of his goals imminent table. Pulisic feels like he's probably pretty high on goals imminent. He had a decent look against Honduras. He had that great opportunity against Man City in the Champions League final. I see a Pulisic goal coming against Mexico. Perhaps a futile goal, but I think it's going to happen.
That's actually, you know, it's a good point because he really doesn't have like the one goal I can remember actually was the goal against Trinidad and Tobago, the shocking loss, the loss, yeah, that, right, cost us the
put us out of the World Cup.
The 2018 World Cup. And you know, and I remember they were down, I think, 3-1, and I remember Pulisic scored a great individual goal to get it to 3-2, and that was like the only like moment I remember from his time at the men's national team, right? Like, I mean, the problem is like we don't get to have like, I'm glad, you know, I was a little down on the whole idea of us having like a Nations League like they do for UEFA. Yeah. But I guess it's nice because we just can't keep playing gold cups, right?
Yeah.
It's like we're playing like a new gold cup every 6 months, you know? And it's like, you know, other than that, it's like you just have the hex, you know? And, right. I think now it's not even the hex, right? Isn't it the octagon or something? There's like a new.
Yeah. There are more teams, but you know, in our CONCACAF region, it's just not a strong pool of teams. That's why some U.S. fans have made the case, like, we need to be playing more in South America. We need to bring Argentina and Brazil through our schedule just to give us some different competition. Yeah. Usually, like, for those who are listening to this recording across the pond, what is sort of like your typical CONCACAF match are these insane slide tackles. Like, it's crazy that 10 players don't get broken legs in every, whether it's the Gold Cup, the Hex qualifier, or whatever's happening with this Nations League. But there were some pretty rough challenges in that Honduras game a couple of days ago.
So, Scott, what are you looking for in tonight's match? I mean, other than a win, obviously.
That's a great question. And I'd like to see a little bit more up on the offensive side. I just felt like a lot of our attacks were counterattacks. I'd like us to keep a little bit more possession.
Yeah.
Maybe create something versus, Mexico has the ball and then suddenly we intercept and it's a run. I really would like to see them build up the play and make something happen. And that's what I don't like about what I see right now with their team. And they don't have the talent to do it, but I believe
I agree with you, Scott. I think that they do have that talent. It was weird that the goal against Honduras came from a John Brooks over the top ball. So you're absolutely right. I think that there needs to be a little bit more possession in the final third and showing they can break down some of these defenses.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I mean, at this point, like it's just not the way. Like, this is not the team from 5 or 10 years ago, right? I mean, now you have a, I mean, I don't know how many, starts McKennie logged for Juve, but it was quite a few. Yeah, quite a few, right? And
yeah,
like you said, Pulisic just won the World Cup. I mean, in terms of
the Champions League, I wish he won the World Cup.
Of course, Champions League. Sorry. I was looking at the Mexican national team starting 11 as we were talking. So I'm just curious. I guess he didn't even get called up, did he, our boy from Wolves? I guess there's no reason for him to.
Oh, yeah, Jimenez?
Yeah.
I feel like it'd probably be wise for him to just take the summer off. Well, Scott, I really appreciate you joining us and the input. I do want to get AJ up on the stage, who sent us a request. So, AJ, welcome. What are you looking for from this tasty U.S.-Mexico matchup?
Oh, guys, I got to be honest. I feel like Steven Seagal in Hard to Kill, who's just waking up from a months-long coma, because I haven't been paying attention to anything. So I was wondering if maybe you could take a half step back and just sort of explain to all the people like me who have been in this coma for the last 3 weeks or so, what exactly is on the line? What are we playing for? What tournament is this? What dimension am I in? Is this the Premier League or is this not the Premier League?
Yeah,
I'm a little confused.
There's no reason to dance around and pretend that this is not a glorified friendly. It is. I mean, it's just like the UEFA Nations League. They try to make the friendlies more interesting, right? And and damn it if it didn't work. I mean, here we are doing this conversation, talking about it, And so, I think it's really good. It's really important for us to play Mexico right now, to play a really strong team ahead of World Cup qualifying, which I believe kicks off. I mean, I think it'll kick off in September of this year. I mean, it's just about to start happening, and we cannot fail to qualify for the 2022 World Cup. That would be catastrophic. It really would be, and I can't even think about it right now.
All we have to do is qualify, right? Because then the following World Cup we're hosting, so we're good there. So just one qualification—that's all we need.
Honest question: what are the chances we qualify or don't qualify based on right now?
I think they're pretty good, AJ. The fact that we conspired to not qualify last time around was just kind of wild, and it caused this seismic sort of conversation of what is wrong with the U.S. Soccer Federation. There was change in leadership that had to happen. I just think it can't be overstated how wild it was that we failed. So I kind of don't see it happening again, especially, again, we were kind of slamming Berhalter, but I think there is plenty of talent in this team to get us. Whether we can beat Mexico or not, we have the talent to get points off of virtually every other nation.
What happened? I don't understand. 5 years ago, it was like Clint Dempsey was going to be the last player in Europe who was the last men's player to ever play in Europe. And it was all Jordan Morris was playing and it was playing for, Seattle Sounders. And it was that's it. The American men aren't going to Europe anymore. And it's flash forward 5 years later. It's we have starting players at Juventus, Borussia Dortmund. They're all 20, under 21 years old. I mean, Gio Reyna is 18 years old. that's just kind of the forwards, right? I mean, you have defenders. Sergiño Dest starts for Barcelona.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they have a starting left back.
Who plays Zach Stefan playing goal for Manchester City. I mean, he's a cup keeper, but still.
Still, yes. Yeah, exactly. I mean, so is Tim Howard, right? I mean, eventually he'll go somewhere, right? So
I think part of the story is Major League Soccer and how if you go back 5 years ago when there was that tumult with the U.S. team, we were drawing so heavily from MLS. And you get the sense that this generation that's now making up our starting 11, they kind of got the message and said, if you really want, if you have the talent, the belief, you have to go to Europe and find your way there. Because MLS, while MLS is still expanding and it's not like the worst league on the planet, but I think the fact that we're less reliant on MLS, and there was this generation that just said, you know, we're going to go straight to Europe.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, don't forget DeAndre Yedlin, too, you know?
Sure, straight from Turkey into the starting 11.
I was joking.
Yeah. What an incredible – what do you make of that neck tattoo, AJ? That is an incredible neck tattoo.
And Yedlin put in some nice performances for – I mean, I had him on my fantasy team. He was a nice $4.3 million starter for a while there. Like, you know, all credit to Yedlin.
Wait, when? When did you have Yedlin?
I might have done it once. I don't know. I certainly thought about it. I don't know if I ever actually did, but.
All right. AJ, thanks for popping in. Welcome to stick around. Scott, we can get you back up on the stage too if you've got anything else to say. But I want to clear the lane for Dave. Dave, I know you're going to bring the fire here. What's your read on this matchup, Dave?
Well, you guys forgot the most important starting European player, Tim Ream.
Of course.
Fulham's own.
I mean, has he been starting for Fulham? Did he start for Fulham at all down the stretch, Brandon?
Just one match after we had been relegated, and Parker, nice. I think, played three at the back. And
I read that he has decided to stay for another year at Fulham, and I was like, wow, like that's great for them. Like,
I mean, he's weirdly equipped for the championship. Now, as the years go by, you know that the mileage may vary, but you know he was up there as Fulham's player of the season when they got promoted in 2018. Do you remember when we were at Craven Cottage, Josh? There was a little kid in front of me, and he was getting a kit personalized at the Craven Cottage shop, and he was getting Ream with like five E's in it stamped on the back of the kit. And so, you know, he's beloved. He's not up there with Brian McBride, but he is beloved.
So do we want to talk about anything not related to U.S. men's national team? I saw I don't know if it's, you know, qualifies as breaking news because it hasn't been confirmed yet, but a lot of talk now that Jadon Sancho is actually going to come to Man United. And I think that would be pretty exciting. I mean, my understanding of him is a lot of it's based on doing the fantasy Bundesliga game last summer. I mean, I wasn't like I was tracking his every match last year for Borussia Dortmund, but I think that would be kind of like, it's just always fun. I feel like when a new Premier League season starts and you've got a couple of like major players who come. I mean, last year we thought it was going to be Timo Werner. It kind of didn't, but even when it doesn't work out, like that's kind of interesting too. Like it's like, you just want a little bit of juice, you know, one way or the other.
Yeah, hopefully it's not going to be a replay of when Memphis Depay came to Manchester United. I mean, and then you go back to Alexis Sanchez going to United. They've struggled to bring in like amazing wingers. Like their best wingers are like coming from their academy, like Mason Greenwood. So
yeah, I don't know if I compare Sancho to Memphis Depay. That feels like
sure. Sancho has proven himself on many stages. Definitely a talented player. That's fair. There are other transfer rumors. I like the Jack Grealish to Manchester City. I think I was listening to Second Captains, and they were talking about Pep was asking people who knew Jack, like, tell me about him. Tell me about who he really is.
I imagine him steepling his fingers. What is a Jack Grealish?
Right. Right. I mean, if they got Grealish and Harry Kane to City, just a hypothetical there, like, suddenly Manchester City go from this, like, European super club to this homer club with these great English players. You've got Phil Foden as well there. That's kind of an exciting proposition.
Yeah, until he doesn't start Kane in the Champions League final or something, right?
Which, yeah.
Right. You know, the sad thing is, I mean, the other big signing, and this one actually looks like it's almost like 99% certain to happen is Buendia from Norwich to Aston Villa, which probably does clear the lane for that Jack Grealish move. I can't imagine they spend $35 million on Buendia unless they're planning to drop Grealish. It would be cool if they both stay, but I kind of doubt it.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you there. What was I going to say? I had something in the can, but I can't remember what it is. Dave, I'm going to call you out because you're a Spurs fan. Talk to me about all these rumors around Harry Kane. The guy's got 3 years left on his contract. Is it even plausible that Levy lets this guy go?
Well, you know, as a European super club, the Spurs have many offers for managers and offers on their players, you know, seeing as we have great players. No, I mean, I think it's just what a clown show. I mean, it's just going to come down to money. And if he gets enough of it, offer, I think he'll probably jump on it and, you know, spend it on crap. I don't know.
How do you feel about the rumored offer from City where it's Jesus and Nathan Ake and a little bit of cash?
Yeah, I mean, do we cut him and get like cap relief on our salary or something? But I don't want Jesus anywhere near the pitch. But
But like, don't you think that Gabriel Jesus is a player who, like because of how he fits into that team, it's hard to be an objective sense of how good he could be at a different club. I mean, I feel like he's, you know, okay, yeah, he didn't have a great season for sure, but he showed some Roberto Firmino style skills, right? Like he, you know, the ability to sort of track back and, you know, like some ball winning abilities and, you know, setting up play and things like that. So I think he could end up being a really good player. Maybe even a man. Obviously, he is a good player, but I mean, I think he could become like a really top forward for a Champions League club somewhere.
I mean, if he can make runs and leave room for Son, maybe, I guess. I don't know. That's that's an optimistic view, but yeah, I mean, it's just been solo roller coaster. I've actually been following, you know, obviously all the news and the forums and the comments. It's just, I'm have to take a step back. Cause I just wait for something to happen. Then I'll react to it. It's just too much to process, like, oh, you know, Poch is coming. So Kane's definitely staying. Now it's like Conte's coming. Maybe Kane's staying. No, it's like, oh God.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
You know,
right.
One thing, Brendan, I don't know how much we talked about in last week's conversation, but the Brentford move is kind of exciting. I'm kind of looking forward to that. I feel like obviously they worked with StatsBomb for a long time, right? They've got like some, like they're kind of known to be like an advanced stats darling, and they've got an interesting manager. I like his weird energy. You know, he's really.
I just read a piece about him sent from my boy Tim, who had his own, actually he did a London trip with his family and his boys, and they happened to catch a home Brentford match and like really fell in love with the vibe in the club. So he became sort of a Bees supporter. But he sent me a link on the manager and how he was sort of like, what was he, a professional gambler? as well.
Interesting. I didn't know
that. He was a sports handicapper. Yeah.
Thomas Frank is his name.
He was super was it the owner or the manager? And they're totally run by stats and, you know, Moneyball and all that. Yeah. So it's very interesting article. The other interesting part is like half their team is Danish because they have like the Danish coach now.
Oh, cool. So it's like they're like Wolves has Portuguese and I like it. I actually think that's kind of a cool, I like the pipeline idea. By the way, I just saw, speaking of Danes, that Nicholas Bentner retired, and he retired.
He was still playing?
Yeah. But what shocked me is he retired at like 33 years old. Like, did you guys know that he was only 33?
No, I assume he was like 38 playing in Beijing or something.
I thought 38 too, maybe even 40. Like 33, that's crazy.
Yeah, I think he just kind of burnt out pretty quickly. One of those types of players, and his ego just got too big for England at least. Brentford too, they have a brand new stadium. Like, they really needed this promotion to happen to justify the money they put into the new stadium. So getting fans in the stands. A trip to Brentford will probably make for a pretty good broadcast.
Oh yeah, but Tony's going to be the new. I know Pookie is coming back up, but I think Ivan Toney is going to be the Pookie, like the 6.5 million promoted striker that everybody tries to bring in.
Possibly, I can see Toney being the striker that you bring in. He scores like two and two, like the first two game weeks. He scores two, and then he never scores again for the rest of the season. I don't know. I think there was
so negative. I thought you were going to be more positive going into this season.
I will be.
Last year,
I mean, Mitrovic won the Golden Boot in the championship. I mean, granted, Parker didn't play Mitrovic at all last season, so you know it's a different. It's like apples and oranges, but. I mean, the competition in the playoffs in the championship this season was not stiff. I mean, if you watch Swansea play, it's really, really quite dour.
There was a little too much Andre Ayew in that Swansea team, right? Like
I think we'll have to talk much more about Norwich. You know, you saw this happen with Burnley, right? They came up, they immediately got relegated, they came back up, and it was like all the lessons learned, and now they're firmly established in the like lower mid table. And you know, Norwich has kind of been yo-yoing for a decade now, but I think you know that given they had that continuity where they kept the managerial staff, they kept a lot of their core players. Maybe it works a little bit better for them. And then Watford too, I think, kept a lot of their players, like guys like Sarr, who he was emerging as a cool fantasy asset.
It's going to take some work for me to get excited about Watford coming back up. Yeah, like, right. I always get a little excited about Norwich just because I think it's fun to have a team on the East Coast. You know, it's just like a little different. Like, it's like I hope Ipswich Town comes up sometime. You know,
there
just like have a little variety there. But Brendan, we're gonna do more actual fantasy. You know, we'll be back with fantasy like regular FPL pods soon. These are just kind of conversations to keep the fun going. We'll do some Euro stuff, some Euro chats as well, starting next week. But before we go, let's get some predictions for tonight's match. What do you think? Score predictions.
I think it's going to be an exciting 2-1 victory for Mexico. You know, that's kind of what my, you know, going on my brand of being hyper pessimistic. I think we have it in us to pull out a 2-1 win, but I think there are goals in this match for sure.
All right. Well, I'm going to say dos a cero.
There you go.
Yep. It's going to be a Pulisic goal. An arena goal, okay? And the defense is going to look strong. Dest is going to set up one of the goals. This is like my fantasy. Like, that's how this match is going to go. But I'm actually excited because I have never watched a full – the men haven't played a meaningful match. I mean, I guess the Honduras one sort of was. But this match feels like the first meaningful men's national team match in, like, 18 months, right? So or longer, really. So yeah. I'm looking forward to it, and I just want to see everybody play together. And I'm not like my expectations are pretty in check. Like if it's a drab nil-nil, I'm not going to walk away thinking, oh, this project is like doomed or whatever. I may walk away thinking that Berhalter is not the answer, but I kind of already felt that way.
We already knew that. Yeah. All right. Well, let's leave it there. Big thanks to Scott and Dave and AJ for joining us. If you want to keep tabs on when Always Cheating are doing these locker room sessions, we do them once a week, usually on a Friday or during the weekend. Follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters. Visit our website, alwayscheating.com. Josh, let's get out of here.
All right, man. We'll talk to you. They're going to do their next one on Friday when the Euros kick off. So we'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
Bye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.